These are difficult times. These are the times that test our faith. Perhaps we have our faith challenged by others. We perhaps are challenged to even explain our own Holy Scriptures, and sometimes we don't have the words to do that. But perhaps there are few things in sacred Scripture that explain all of God's promise and all of God's words and the entire Scripture better than the story of God's vineyard, as sung by Isaiah and then later repeated by Jesus as a parable. Every Israelite and Jew knew Isaiah's song of the vineyard, his friend's vineyard. This was written perhaps 700 years before the birth of Jesus. It was written perhaps 100 years before the Babylonian exile, but it pointed to that exile. Everyone knew that the vineyard referred to Israel and Judea and Jerusalem. The vineyard and the garden were God's symbols and blessings to his people. Garden and vineyard prepared especially for the people he loved. Adam and Eve started in that garden, and they defiled the garden with their disobedience and had to leave the garden. They lost their eternal life by their original sin. The song of the vineyard was the history of Israel. You take a step back and look at the entire story of Israel, and it's right there in the story of the vineyard. And the way Jesus later told the story, it was the entire history of salvation. And in the vineyard stories, we receive this bird's eye view of God's work. Psalm 80 that we just heard summarizes all of the vineyard stories. The vineyard of the Lord is the house of Israel. All of Israel knew that. A vine from Egypt you transplanted. You drove away the nations and planted it. It put forth foliage to the sea, its shoots as far as the river. Talking about Israel. Isaiah's friend is God. God created the vineyard for his people with a hedge around it as protection. We refer to his commandments, his laws. The tower is King David's throne, or the tower could have been the temple. What actually grew in the vineyard turned out to be smelly grapes, sour, wild grapes, sometimes is translated, but not good grapes. The original Hebrew word was smelly. You wouldn't make a jam out of it. You wouldn't eat the grapes, and you wouldn't make wine out of it. It's useless. Isaiah begins his song about his friend, and halfway through the song, it turns out that it's no longer Isaiah singing the song, but God himself telling the story, asking, what more was there to do for my vineyard that I had not already done? I did everything for my vineyard. Why, when I looked for a crop of grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes, smelly grapes? Centuries had passed since God formed the nation of Israel in the promised land, beginning with Abraham and through Moses and King David. God's people had since divided the entire kingdom of Israel in a civil war into two separate nations, north and south, 9 tribes in the north and 2 tribes in the south. And this division was just an example of how people were turning away from God. They made pacts. These nations and kings made pacts with other nations and accepted pagan gods in their midst. They wanted to be like all the other nations. They They even defiled the temple by putting pagan idols in the temple. Human sacrifices became common in Jerusalem and throughout Israel, including children, child sacrifices. Superstition was rampant. People had turned their backs to God and against his commandments, and they'd lost their special relationship with God by their choice, what they chose, Isaiah's friend, God, they refused, they denied. People had become the stinky grapes. And finally, when God became impatient with Israel, he foretells the fall of Israel, the destruction of Jerusalem, and the exile to Babylon. God says, "Now I will let you know what I mean to do with my vineyard. Take away its hedge, give it to grazing, break through its wall, let it be trampled. Yes, I will make it a ruin." And that's just what happened with the Babylonian exile, and Babylon destroyed, completely destroyed the city of Jerusalem and carried off its princes and leaders. 70 years later, after the exile, the Jews returned to Jerusalem and rebuilt the city and the temple with the greatest of intentions of being faithful. But soon, we know from the scripture that they would again turn their backs on God. Now, when Jesus is on the scene, he uses the vineyard story that Isaiah gave us, but with a few changes and updates. Israel's religious leaders frequently had God's prophets persecuted or killed, and that was to be Jesus' fate as well. Jesus was the landowner's son in the temple, in the parable, and the son was killed by the tenants of the vineyard. Pay attention to the timing of this story. Jesus' parable of the vineyard happens at a very interesting point. At this moment, Jesus had already entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, as of the telling of this parable. He was at the very end of his ministry. Jesus went into the temple and drove out the money changers. He got their attention. And the leaders of the temple were angry with Jesus and confronted him there in the temple precincts. Jesus first told them the parable of the two sons. Remember the two sons in the vineyard, where the father says to the two sons, to the first son, "Go out and work in the vineyard." And the son says, "Yes, I will," but then he doesn't go. And he goes to the second son, and the second son says, "No, I will not." But he repents, and he goes out to the vineyard. That was what we were hearing last week. It was the very same moment in the temple. The story is about those very leaders. They were hearing stories about themselves because they were the ones that supposedly said yes to God, had the word of God, taught Moses' teachings, but they didn't carry out his will. They didn't go out of the vineyard. They didn't help work in the vineyard with justice and peace. The others who first said no, but then repented, these are the sinners, the prostitutes and the publicans. And the priests and leaders hated Jesus for associating with them, but they're the ones who repented and did the will of the Father. That was last week's gospel. And all of this happens, as I say, right in Holy Week, right there in that moment, right after chasing out the money changers in the temple. It's just a few days before the Last Supper and Jesus' arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane. I find it interesting that Jesus was arrested in a garden. After Jesus told the leaders of the temple the parable of the vineyard, he asked them, "What will the owner of the vineyard do to these tenants when he comes. Remember, this was a parable, supposedly a fictitious story, but they're taking it seriously now. And they answered him, "He will put those wretched men to a wretched death and lease his vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the proper times." This was the response of the chief priests and the temple leaders. And by this, they were condemning themselves, probably ignoring the fact that on some level, they knew the parable was about them. And Jesus gives them his verdict. And he gives them the verdict that his apostles and his church will succeed them. They will be the ones to be the leaders in Israel. "Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruit." This encounter happened in the spring of the year 33 AD. And we know that within a week, Jesus had been arrested, and crucified, died, buried, and resurrected. And the church he built upon the apostles emerged and quickly spread throughout the world with the power to forgive sins and to provide the holy sacraments that Jesus gave us. His vineyard was fruitful. It still is today. That's why we're here today. And the vineyard is now the entire world. We are the tenants in the vineyard, so we hear the parable being told about us. We are to yield good grapes, justice, and peace, and spread the gospel. Today we're living in a world with much strife, fear, with the pandemic, the violence in America's cities, and a very divisive political moment in our nation's history. And Jesus told us over and over again, be not afraid. Be not afraid. Don't lose your peace. The church has seen a lot of pandemics. This is not our first rodeo. When your faith is challenged or your knowledge of Scripture is questioned, let me give you a response to work on. Take this one to heart and try to use this one. So you could say, I live in the vineyard. I work in the vineyard. The church is the vineyard, built upon the apostles by Jesus to build the reign of heaven. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. And the vineyard stories tell it all.